Welcome back to Reflections. Your host, Jorge Gonzalez. And we were talking about reflecting on Iran and where things stood. I wasn't able to get in that last week. Started getting on the topic and wasn't able to follow up Marco Rubio's trip to visit the Pope, which has been a dramatic conflict, which should not be happening, but it is. And then there was King Charles' presentation to the Congress, the joint, Senator, Senate, and House, an incredible message. So with such aplomb, with such clarity, and yet not creating animosity, but, you know, clear that the combination of United Kingdom and the U.S. Needs to be strengthened for democracy, and clearly says, you know, for a victory in Ukraine, which is important, and in order to strengthen these ties that are becoming kind of loose with Europe. So it was a very good talk. Everybody spoke highly of how well it was done. Interesting, it wasn't. He was reading nothing, no promptus, teleprompters, etc. Reading it, just a great presentation, and keeping to the script and reading when it had to be read. So, kudos to King Charles and for the message he gave us that I hope is taken to heart by this administration. The what's happening in Iran is a little bit like a chess game. The latest skirmish I found kind of interesting. That Trump decided to send three destroyers, I think it was, and into the straits to see if that will work. That they can then, you know, open up the straits and convoy help and protect and convince commercial tankers to take on the straits, which they haven't been willing to do. Iran doesn't have navy, doesn't have air force, doesn't have anything, but they keep on hitting us and hitting the Gulf, and they shot at the destroyers. And I think, you know, their main goal wasn't really to hit the destroyers, just to let them know that, you know, even the destroyers can be shot at. My sense is that this is, you know, I think Iran has overplayed their hands on them and maybe overplaying it. But overall, they've kind of make sure that their reaction to what the U.S. is relatively downplayed. I remember last year when they retaliated, they told the base that they were going to be targeting that it was coming, and I think, you know, I don't think they really, the last thing they wanted is to sink a U.S. destroyer, because it's this cat and mouse game. And I as I said, the Iranians consider themselves, you know, the Persian cat, and very sly and all. So the U.S. retaliated strongly and you know, as expected. But imagine what it would have been if they had really actually hit one of the destroyers. But it was sufficient so that Trump pulled back and no more our destroyers are going in there. This idea of conveying, following, you know, protecting the commercial tankers and ships is not on the table right now. We kind of have a stalemate. And one of the things that's an article, the checkmate in Iran by the Atlantic, and other articles, both sides claiming victory, both exaggerating their position. The Iranian, you know, Taruf, tend to do exaggeration. and both, you know, kind of claiming far more than they should be. U.S. still saying, you know, unconditional surrender. Bottom line, this is my opinion, humble opinion. I may be wrong, but this has been a disastrous war for the U.S. In order to deterrent for the nuclear weapons, they have provided Iran with a tool that's far more effective for its for you know future strength. They now you know with Pakistan and China and Russia and some of the Gulf states, etc. They their standing has improved, and so I think this thing has backfired. I hope I'm wrong for the U.S. and all, but I fear that the strategy has whatever the strategy changing strategy has been has backfired. The regime is more entrenched, is more conservative, more combative than ever, and even though the economy and its military weapons and all have been degraded tremendously, it's still not going to give up easily, and as many countries, especially when autocratic rule, time is on their side compared to the democracies who have elections. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. There was a, in terms of you know this chess game back. You move this particular, take this particular step, and then you know the other one takes another step. It was a documentary on Netflix called Queen of Chess. A little bit ties to the trip to Budapest this coming fall, and it's a girl, a family, three girls with a father that from the very beginning, you know, said they're gonna make stars, intellectual special stars out of them, and got them into chess, and one of them became the top chess player. And breaking into the into a sport that dominated by males who thought that females could never beat them or and all, but if really recommend it, Queen of Chess is a fantastic documentary, and the Hungarian is not only a fantastic chess player but a great person, and a little bit like Jasmin Camacho Quinn, you know, has a holistic way of looking at life, which I always appreciate. In fact, now that there's two other that besides this, the Queen of Chess. I recommend the movie of Taiwan called The Left-Handed Girl, and the acting by this young girl is outstanding, and the message and all is really beautiful, and. Yeah, you're going to enjoy the movie. It's a kind of Chinese and English, you know, because it's a family that comes back and forth to the U.S. But I think your story, The Left-Handed Girl. And then there's another documentary in Netflix called The Gorilla Story. And it's David Attenborough. And it's a beautiful on the gorillas in with a small baby who pounces, cudgely on David Attenborough. I think he was probably in the late 20s or so, or early 30s, and he follows her name, calls him Pablo, and follows him through various, you know, developments and the whole family and all. And he's a fantastic narrator. The filming is outstanding, and the story of, you know, if you're an animal, a nature lover, is fantastic as the different, you know, personalities in the development of this group that he follows is interesting. It ties in with us human beings, you know. So The Gorilla Story, really, with David Attenborough, really recommend it. little bit off the on the thing. Trump is now, you know, traveling to China in the midst of this recording, more or less, and the program on Thursday and Friday. So I don't know what the results are going to be. My guess is that not much is going to happen with respect to Taiwan. I think everybody. I don't think there's going to be a movement either way, though I do fear that the U.S. commitment to Taiwan is eroding a little bit, and that you know, trust on the U.S. defending you may not be as good as it was, but I don't think anything's going to happen there. The fentanyl, I think that, you know, China will mention something to the effect that they're going to try to help reduce that's not good for the world. The rare minerals that China has in return for, so probably something in the commercial trade thing that'll be positive. And then I think on the Straits, China, 50% of their oil comes, you know, from that Persian Gulf through the Straits, and China has a good reserves. They foresaw the problems and all, but they're gonna be saying the same thing, that they want the straits open, but that there should be peace. There shouldn't have been a war. So it's gonna, you know, two sides of their mouth with respect to that. So I don't think anything that incredible is gonna come out of this. Everybody's going to say that they came out better, but I think it's more or less, you know, end up where we started. I was going to talk a little bit about local politics, which I usually keep out of, and, you know, Jennifer had a very good week with the board, the fiscal board, approving the credit, the refunds of taxes, and that's, you know, that's really, really positive. Although my position is that just giving us back what they shouldn't have taken. But anyway, it is what it is. The Laura Swain returning the two claims against LUMA by the local government, one declared it null and void, the other one non-compliance with the agreement, back to the local courts as a victory. So it's what the government wanted, and LUMA didn't want. My point of view is that this may not be all that good for Puerto Rico. I think in the local courts, this is going to be dragged out for years. It's not going to be resolved, I don't think, in the next couple of years. I think in the federal sphere, especially in the bankruptcy, it would have been decided. Judge Laura Taylor Swain, as I found, has been reluctant to make the decision. She likes to sort of give everybody a chance for mediation and all, but I think we would have had a decision on those two matters, you know, positive or negative to the Puerto Rico. But I think it's going to be dragged out, and I think from LUMA's point of view, that's probably what it wants. Having a chance to, I think it's improving its performance and its standing. So it'll have a chance to continue to do so with this new CEO. I don't think it's so. it's going to achieve what the administration wanted, its ability to cancel the LUMA contract relatively quickly. It's not going to happen. The third thing that happened for her was the approval of the new budget and all. And I think it would be the second year that we have the audited, you know, positive budgets, and we're on our way to finally get these things the way we should have them. So it's been a good positive for Jennifer and for Puerto Rico, and although there's tons of chismes and gossips and things going on the sidelines, but at least that's a good word. Finally, I wanna end up with McConnell Valdez, an article celebrating 80 years. That's my old law firm, and just my thought, my reflections, appreciation. You know, for all those years, experience, appreciation, respect for the firm, and you know, it kind of ties in with Dorado Beach, nostalgia, and all. There was a quote there in the Nuevo Día about how difficult it is to give up, you know, what has to be given up. I felt I've been able to do that, do an analysis, and I don't know how about you, but you know, we've got to move on, and that's critical phase of our well-being, and that's what I've been able to do, and I hope you're able to do it. So move on, take care, and God bless you. We'll see you next week.
Allegro WIPR 91.3 FM was proud to present Reflections, hosted by Jorge González, reflecting on events with our well-being in mind.